Believers Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from
Hebrews chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, and have tasted the heavenly gift, and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God, and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God, and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it, and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated, receives blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you, yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who, through faith and patience, inherit the promises. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you." And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek.
Endless fire.
210, The Danger of Apostasy. In our last lesson, we learned about the unique priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ, as well as the need for Christians to mature in their faith, feeding on the meat of God's Word and not simply on milk. Today's lesson will encourage professors of Christianity to move forward, lest they fall back to become apostate. We will also learn that God wants us to have confidence in His salvation, which we discover from history and God's trustworthy character. In chapter 5, the writer was telling his readers that they should have matured more in their faith through attention to God's Word. Now in chapter 6, he wants them to move forward and advance beyond the basic Old Testament teachings, which he calls the elementary principles of Christ. The foundational doctrines of Judaism, including repentance from trusting in works that could never save, and faith, which is the only means of salvation. He wanted them to move beyond the ritual washings of baptism associated with Judaism and laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. These should have all been known and believed, for they were taught in the Old Testament, so he does not need to go over these topics again, but wants them to now understand these doctrines in view of the greater revelation given in the New Testament, namely that Christ is the fulfillment of the law, and salvation comes through faith in Him alone, apart from the practices of the law. All the Old Testament rituals and the evidences of God's raising the dead, teaching about eternal judgment, were more fully developed and understood when Jesus brought the gospel into the light. The author now spends some time thinking about people who have tasted, been enlightened, and become partakers of the gospel, and yet had not fully surrendered to Christ in faith. These are those who heard the word of God, who learned about God's gift of salvation, and even experiencing the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. They were so very close to being saved, and perhaps many thought they were saved, but then they fall away from Christ. In the context of this book, they may have returned to the dead rituals of Judaism. A person who can know the truth of the gospel so intimately, then reject it and adopt teachings and practices which deny Jesus as the only Savior of men, have condemned their souls to God's judgment. In fact, the author describes such a condition as being impossible to repent from. This is because the person has seen the truth of Christ, touched and tasted it with the testimony of the Holy Spirit, but then turned away in unbelief. It is not that God could not save them if they would turn to Christ in faith, but because they themselves have evaluated the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ and rejected it, the Bible says it's impossible to renew them to repentance because they have said no to the one and only means by which God said we must be saved. If you reject the one and only way of salvation, then salvation becomes impossible to you. It is a great insult to God to reject His Son and the salvation offered through Him because it was given to us at the greatest of all cost. So here the Bible uses the strongest language to describe the evil of unbelief and turning away from God's offer in Christ. He says they have crucified again the Son of God and put Him to an open shame. An apostate from the Christian faith is said to be like the earth that has been cultivated and watered but only produces thorns and briars, which are useless and only to be cursed and burned in the fire. While describing the terrible judgment for apostates, the author expresses his confidence in the Hebrews to produce spiritual fruit that accompanies salvation. When a person experiences God's salvation, there will always be spiritual fruit to accompany it. But if there is no fruit, then the profession is just like the weeds and thorns that will one day be cast into the fire. His confidence in them was because of their good works, which God would not forget, because they had ministered to their fellow believers and continued to do so. He warns all of them to be diligent to show the same care and love for one another, so that they would find assurance before God of their hope in Christ until they reach heaven. He warns them not to be sluggish in their Christian walk, but to take their faith very seriously and progress forward in Christ, imitating other examples of faith who by patience inherited the promise made to them by God. The writer will use the example of Abraham and how by faith he obtained the promise. God swore to Abraham to give him a son in his old age, and Abraham believed him. However, when Abraham wanted some confirmation of God's promise, God willingly offered to him this confirmation by acceptance of an offering Abraham made to him and an oath that he swore to him when he promised him many descendants. So not only did God make a promise to Abraham, he confirmed it by an oath, and by these two things made a sure confirmation. In this context, the Bible clearly states that it is impossible for God to lie. This is one thing that is impossible with God. Due to the perfections of His character, He can never act deceitfully, but will always convey the truth. This means that we have a great hope that cannot be taken away from us in Christ. The Hebrews could flee from the sinking ship of Judaism's works and place their trust in Jesus as an anchor for their souls. Because Jesus had entered into heaven, like the high priest of the Old Testament entering into the sacred place in the sanctuary behind the veil, so Jesus has entered into heaven with His own blood to make propitiation for our sins. His presence and acceptance before the throne of God means that we shall also one day be accepted there, because our great high priest has prepared the way for our entrance and acceptance. This chapter has two sharp contrasts for us to consider as we hear the gospel of God's grace. On the one hand, there is the strictest warning to those who would treat lightly the gospel and not embrace salvation through Christ as God's free gift. Those who taste of this free gift and yet reject it will surely be insulting God's grace and be in grave danger of spending eternity in the flames of hell. Those whose faith pass the test demonstrate by their love of the brethren and service to the saints they are God's children, will have the assurance of God's promise of eternal life. If you want this insurance, then you must also be diligent in letting your faith be seen through your actions. If you are not yet sure you have God's salvation, then today you can simply ask Jesus in faith to be your Savior and Lord. If they fall away to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put Him to an open shame. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 6.
Yeah.
now for today's Bible question. In today's lesson, we heard the author warn the Hebrews against falling away from the Christian profession, commonly known as apostasy. He also provided reassurances because of their demonstration of Christian love and God's unfailing promise to those who belong to Jesus. Someone might ask the question, what things should accompany salvation? In today's lesson, the writer said he was confident in the Hebrews' profession of salvation because he had confidence that they would produce the things which accompany salvation. The evidence he gave for this was their labor of love, since they had ministered to the saints and continued to do so. He expected to see more things that accompany salvation, but at least this one proof was enough to convince him that they were genuine Christians and would produce more things that accompany salvation. We could give a lengthy list of things which accompany salvation, which might be true for some and not others, but let's try to provide at least some basic things that should be expected in the life of every Christian. These things do not make a person a Christian, but provide evidence that they have taken Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Number one, love of the brethren. This is one of the first signs of new life, because the Christian belongs to a new family, and that instinctive sense of love should be seen by attendance at church gatherings and interest in each other. Number two, love for the Bible. Since the Bible is God's way of speaking to the heart of God's children, then every child who loves his father should desire to hear and respond to his words. It was the word of God that brought us the gospel and therefore our salvation. And so we are indebted to this great revelation from God and should make it our daily delight, enjoying it as much and more than our daily food. Number three, love for prayer. This is another one of those instinctive behaviors of a new child of God. He senses immediately that new relationship with God by faith and becomes increasingly comfortable talking to God and even laboring in prayer for long periods of time. Number four, love for righteousness. Because we are sinners saved by God's grace from the penalty of sin, we should, through the gospel, have a greater appreciation for righteous behavior and find ourselves making decisions that take us away from sin and toward behavior that is pleasing and acceptable to God. Number five, love for the lost. Once a person has trusted in the Lord Jesus, they recognize the dire need of others to do likewise, lest they perish in the flames of hell. We would expect that someone who has experienced God's salvation to be busy telling their family and friends how they also can be saved. Number six, love for sharing. One of the works of the Holy Spirit within the child of God is to shed God's love abroad. This means that the child of God is filled with a spirit of generosity because God himself is so very kind and giving. It is not surprising to find Christians sharing their homes, money, time, skills to assist others. Of course, when we see those who profess salvation acting selfishly, then we have reason to doubt their salvation. And number seven, love for God. The child of God is deeply indebted to God for his grace and kindness and wants to express his gratitude and love in offerings and worship made to God. That is why times of worship are important for the church and opportunities to give offerings to God. True worship is unmistakably the fruit of salvation. When we see these seven signs of life in one who professes salvation, we can be rather confident that the Holy Spirit has regenerated them. All of these signs are true of a Christian the day they are saved, right through to the end of their Christian experience. You do not have to develop these seven loves in your life, for they are the immediate work of the indwelling Holy Spirit the very moment a person receives Jesus as their personal Savior. In fact, the birth of a Christian is often quite unique and distinguishable because of these obvious changes in their life. I wonder if you can confirm these seven loves present in your own life, since you professed faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord. This is a good test to gain assurance of your salvation. If you do not find confidence because these changes never occurred in your life, then perhaps you are not really saved. Maybe you're just religious. trusting in yourself or your efforts to gain access into heaven. Today is the day when you must repent of your false Christian profession and make sure you trust in Jesus alone for salvation. Call on Him now to save you. The Bible says that they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Tragically, there are some people who have heard the gospel many times, but continue to harden their hearts. They may not even realize that they have turned away from the Lord. They have become apostate without even realizing it. They think they are Christian because they have not publicly renounced their faith, but in their hearts they have not experienced conversion and have chosen to live for the pleasures and riches of this world rather than for Christ. Don't fool yourself into thinking you're a believer when you have no evidence of it. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament Church, and evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948, or if you have access to the internet, please visit our website at www.BibleAssemblyChurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student. Jesus saw me when a stranger, wandering from the if you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death," and this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." And also in Romans chapter 10 verse 9 it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And number six, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this: "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life." If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believer's Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.